For some reason, in the early days, I used to just get intimidated. I used to go bright red, and I couldn't stop it. I overcame that, and it used to actually make him feel awkward, and it used to make me feel awkward. You know what I mean? Because when someone else is really intimidated, and it kind of freezes the whole situation. Anyone else ever had that happen? Number three, love empowering people. When you're confident, you just love, you just have this spirit that wants to see everyone around you, everyone in your home, your spouse, in relationship with you. You just want to see them empowered. You want to see them, their lives increase. You want to see them be blessed. And it's part of who you are. Number four, spend a lot of time thinking about the destiny of others. Insecurity wants to get you so focused on yourself. We'll talk a bit about that later. But you just want to, you think about the destiny of your kids and those around you, and your friends and your family, and you think of ways to release people. You think about what's going on in their lives, and you find, I find a very confident person isn't always talking about themselves. Are you with me? When you meet with them, quite often they're not the people that you know. You don't always hear about their world. They're more listening and hearing about other people's worlds. Number five, see themselves as catalysts to the destiny of others. Sorry, I did that. Number six, love themselves and are comfortable with who they are. Ah, the beauty of being comfortable with who you are. Number seven, are vulnerable about their weaknesses, flaws, and constraints. Isn't it endearing when someone's actually vulnerable about their weaknesses and their flaws? Don't you find that lovely? I actually don't mind it. I love it. This, when someone, you know, for me as a pastor, quite often people come to me and they go, "Oh, I don't want to tell you this," but I actually think so much more of someone when they share something, a weakness that they want, or they've asked me to help them be a part of seeing change in their life. I actually think it's strength. I never think it's weakness. Amen. So if you've ever thought that, and if you've got a good friend who, and you come in and you go, "I just want to share some area I'm struggling with, I really want to help," to me that says strength, not weaknesses. Weakness is when it's sometimes quite obvious you've got these weaknesses, but you never speak about it, or you never get help, or you never ask for help in your life. Amen? To me, that's weakness. Strength is when you are vulnerable. Number eight, enjoying seeing others honored. Number nine, a confident person lives in peace because they know who they are in God. I want to talk about four hidden insecurities that just invade our life. They're working in the background. We're going to talk about how we can change some of those areas in our life. Are you with me still? The first one is insecurity blocks affirmation. That's the first thing insecurity does. And whether you know it or not, to whatever degrees it's operating in your life, it blocks affirmation. Affirmation is someone affirming who you are, someone affirming what you do, someone affirming that you're loved, someone affirming that you're special, someone affirming that God made you a beautiful, perfect person and you've got so much to give. And this insecurity does everything it can to block this, allowing you to connect with this power that you need. You know, when we're able to receive compliments, not in arrogance, but healthy compliments, it actually is a very good thing. Because if you're someone that's challenged with receiving a compliment, maybe if your mind goes straight, or some sort of affirmation, if your mind goes straight into thinking about something different, if you want to see your life progress, you have to actually believe that God thinks well about you. Are you with me? And that when you read God's word, he's affirming who you are. He's affirming that you are special. He's affirming that you're chosen. He's affirming that your life can move to a new level, that he can use you, that he can do things with you. And if you aren't convinced of that, then insecurity will simply block you from any affirmation. If we haven't tamed insecurity, the moment we receive a compliment, we find ourselves responding, maybe internally, with, what do you really want? And what are you really thinking? It's where you can't allow yourself just to take an affirmation. When someone gives it to you, and when you read, someone says something to you, you think, well, hold on, that's not me. And your mind starts to think, what are you really on about? What's the real angle here? You're not trying to make me feel better. You've got some agenda going on. And you start thinking things in your mind. You know what this does? It complicates your relational world. Any relationship that we're in, anything that's special to us, we need encouragement. We need affirmation. A relationship needs affirmation. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a father and daughter, a father and son, mother and son, mother and daughter, any family relationship, we need affirmation. We need to know that we belong in this and that each other we love each other, and then there's affirmation in that. If we don't allow that, if our insecurity blocks us from that, then if someone in that relationship can't give you that affirmation without you polluting it with your insecurity and making it some contrived thing, then there's some death that's going to enter into that relationship and into that world. Amen? It simply complicates our relational world. When we don't master insecurity, we always see ourselves as less than we are and also struggle to accept others as well. The truth is, if we see others not so much as they are, but in fact as we are. See, when you're insecure, what starts to happen is when there's an insecurity with dealing with being accepted and being affirmed, you actually start to relate to everyone the way that you see yourself. So you start to process anything that comes to any affirmation. If you've got insecurity, then you actually think, you start to process it through a filter. And so anyone that comes to you and says, hey, you're just beautiful, you're amazing, you start saying, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not that. Because you have got insecurity. So anything that comes to you, you start to filter it the way you're thinking about them. Are you with me? And what happens is you start to reject the very people that actually can be a help to you, the very people that you really want in your world. You actually start a process of excluding yourself from those people that can really bring, that God has sent into your world to give you affirmation and encouragement. We've got to be alert, proactive in dealing with this. Because you know what? The reality is that to move forward, your life needs affirmation. It's like the fuel for the engine for you to keep moving forward in life, keep progressing, keep growing. And if this area isn't allowed to be dealt with in your life, if you can't get that fuel needed, that affirmation needed, if it's not coming from God, because every time you read the word, you think you're not that, you don't believe that, then you're not going to get the fuel that you need to see your life transform. See, God actually, I think he gets quite annoyed at this because he's the master designer. He's the master creator. And I think it must annoy him to see us put ourselves down when he created us. True? When he created us, I don't mean angry, but it must frustrate God that it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that's on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. In the image of God. Amen? in the image of God you were created. And it must be frustrating when God's taken Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have allowed themselves to be reproduced. And we are that image of them. Are you with me? And we keep putting ourselves down and not living under that revelation that we are the image of God, that we were created that way, that the Bible says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And it must frustrate God to think that we keep thinking of ourselves as something lowly, worthless, what have you, when we were created in such beauty and splendor and majesty. Amen. He created the old earth. He created everything, every creeping thing, and he created us. That was created to a lesser level, but he created us in his image and likeness. And every single one of you in this room, you were created in that image and likeness. And it's a revelation you've got to sink into your spirit and allow yourself to live out of that revelation. The basis of healing, our ability to accept affirmation and bringing healing to our relational world, is understanding how God relates to us. I want you to get this. This is a key point. I'm going to finish this point on this. Value from God is not based on our ability to respond correctly, but rather it's found in the revelation of who God has made us to be. Are you with me? See, when it comes to our insecurity, quite often the enemy keeps feeding you that God values you based on what you do, but he actually doesn't value you based on what you do. He values you based on who you are. The world values you based on what you do, yes. Your job does. School tells you that. Your university degree tells you that. Everything around you tells you that. But I got to tell you that God doesn't work in that system. He values you based on who you are. And it's the hardest thing in our world is to get our identity and our insecurity dealt with. But if you can just get that revelation and not process when you meet with God that God's basing his ability on how we respond. He's thinking about how you respond. He actually just loves you. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you, were you responding amazingly, unbelievably, perfectly when you were unsaved? No, you were doing everything wrong. You were a sinner. What you were doing was completely away from God. Yet God's plan was that he was going to send his son to die for you before you even responded. Are you with me? Which means his value is in who you are. And I think in a world, if we don't get that in this world, if we allow this, that's the basis of dealing with insecurity, is grabbing that revelation and living off it. And you know what? I've got to keep coming back to that all the time. Understanding that God's value is in who I am, not just in what I do. Amen? I can easily get there as a pastor. Oh, did I read my Bible? Did I do this? Did I do that? No, it's not. That benefits my world, absolutely. But every time I come to God, my value from him is the fact that he loves me and created me. You can't lose that value. Are you with me? Number two, insecurity justifies a lack of personal responsibility. This is a big one. Because I think for a lot of insecure people, and like I am talking the majority of this room, it's some degree. Because the nature of insecurity is that we can find it hard to admit to our wrongs or take personal responsibility when we fail or fall short of something, when we're insecure. Most of the time, our tendency is to point out and point the finger and maybe convince ourselves that someone else is at fault, or at least they've played a part and it's not really our fault. See, the underlying, when insecurities, it doesn't allow you to become vulnerable because you're too insecure about people finding out who you are. Are you with me? So you get trapped in this habit of thinking not taking personal responsibility, because personal responsibility is such a big thing. So when you're insecure, you're going to justify what you didn't make happen, or where you failed, or you're going to deflect that responsibility onto someone else. Well, that's not my fault. That's not my fault. It can't be me, because insecurity keeps pushing. It's someone else. It's someone else. It's not me. But the reality is that we all know in this place that is damaging, because if you want to move ahead in life, that you've got to take responsibility for where you are. True? That's what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God, you know, God is never going to let you. His tone, the whole tone of the Bible and the Word of God, is you can never, ever, ever be a victim. Are you with me? He doesn't allow you to be a victim. Now, the world does. We've got a whole social services that like to do that. That's why you need to go to good biblical counselors. Because I find social services, they just want to label you and go, oh, you're this, you're this. You'll be this for the rest of your life. Take these drugs. Do this. Do this. This is who you are. That's why I love it. That's why I can't get my head around someone that doesn't go to a Christian counselor or something, because the spirit behind Christianity is, yes, but God will never leave you the way you are if you allow him. Are you with me? Because there is nothing. When you get a hold of God, there really, truly is nothing that God can't work with. And if you want to justify it and go, oh, God's never seen a case like me, I'm the most dysfunctional person on the earth, well, that's ridiculous. The Bible is filled with stories of dysfunctional people that God used. Are you with me? You can't get away from the fact that God wants to work with you. And the biggest problem with insecurity is, and when we aren't able to expose what's going on inside of us, then we isolate what's going on and we keep it going on in our lives and we don't allow God to get in. Are you with me? God's got to work with you taking responsibility. When I was age 21, wandered down the back of a church, wandered down here, and I stood, church like this, and I took responsibility that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. Amen? And I've got to tell you, for quite a few years, I didn't think I needed saving. I really didn't think I did. I thought, well, who cares? I'm a good person. I'm a great person. I've got a good life, what have you. And until God confronted me, until I came open and honest, and I can tell you, I've spent quite a bit more time coming down to altar calls and churches to deal with areas of my life. Amen? We've got to take responsibility. Insecurity, it doesn't allow us. And that's why sometimes people just get trapped. Are you still my friend? You're okay. If our insecurity does not allow us to take responsibility of our own mistakes or the choices, we get stuck. With no responsibility on our behalf, we stop repentance. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name, I love that, called by my name, there's the confidence of God, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. That means your house, your home, your relationship, your land is your own life. It's the life that's around you. It can come flooding into your room. That's why the humbleness, the humility of allowing God and not being insecure and allowing that to burst into your home. God can do anything in your circumstances. I've seen some of the most desperate marriages being completely turned around by people taking responsibility, humbling themselves and allowing God to work. Amen? You give me someone who's stubborn, who's want, and there is straight out stubbornness, but there is insecurity. No, I'm not going to admit that there's anything wrong with me. It's always someone else. Amen? You still with me? Number three, insecurity controls or is controlled. When you allow insecurity in your life, it's like a disease. It doesn't stop. It keeps going. It's something that starts to march in every area of your life and starts to take. It wants control of you. It's something that's rampant and it starts moving forward instantly. And it's not something you can just think you're going to manage. You need to confront it and deal with it with God and constantly be fighting against it. It takes unauthorized control. Security is allowed to continue to develop and mature within us. It takes root and continues to take more ground. It's a great story in the Bible, Matthew 20, verse 18. It says, "Then the mothers of Zebedee's sons, the mother of Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus, and she asked," verse 21, she said to, she actually asked a question. She kneeled down and he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and one on your left hand in your kingdom." And Jesus replied by saying, "You don't really understand what you are asking." And she was pretty bold. She's a mom, wandered up to Jesus. And she's thinking the world system. And she said, "Okay, these boys have been doing some work with you. I'm the mom. What's in it for them?" And she confronts them. And she confronts Jesus. And the funny thing about looking at Jesus' response, he actually didn't say that they couldn't be great in the kingdom, that they couldn't be amazing. He just said, "Do they really want this?" He said, number one, they've got to be able to carry the cross like I am, to carry the pain. And number two, he said, the way to be great in the kingdom is to be the greatest servant of all. So he actually said, he didn't slap the mum down and go, "How dare you ask that?" He said, "You just don't know what you're asking." In other words, what God is saying is he does actually want us to have a desire to have a greatness in our life. He didn't slap her. He actually just said, "You've got no idea what you're asking." You really want to be the best? It'll be the greatest sacrifice. Do you really want that for your sons? Fine. And he goes on to say, but I believe this, if we don't deal with insecurity, what happens is it starts this control in our lives, and it ends up going two ways. This control in our lives end up, number one, the first is that you will begin to retreat and live in the shadows of your life. If you allow insecurity, it'll isolate you. It'll separate you. It'll get you away from everyone else, get you thinking that you can be by yourself and that's the best way. You can just live in your own world and not mix with anyone else and stay away from anyone else. Don't bring your life into any challenge whenever you come into a place, a room, or where you feel uncomfortable, people that you don't normally deal with. This insecurity will just say, keep retreating. That's probably why there are some recluses in this world who just live in their own world. Because the enemy would love you to not be effective, would love you not to deal with anyone else and not to enrich your life by meeting new people and building relationships and seeing your life flourish. He'd love you to sit at home with your remote control, TV or whatever you've got, social media, your TV or whatever things you've got, and not be all that you're called to be. And that is the ultimate, one of the ultimate effects of insecurity is to get you so separated that you're just by yourself. The second one is actually almost the opposite. Deep-rooted insecurity will express itself in a need to dominate everything. Quite often people like this come across as very confident, but not necessarily an insecure person. they want to control their whole world and everything around them. And when they're insecure, they'll actually begin to control every person and every circumstance around their lives. And this is where insecurity manifests itself. It starts to, they start thinking, you can't do this, you can't do that, I'm not going to do this. They control everything. It comes from the same strain of insecurity, but it takes two different pathways. Isolates you, or it tries to get you to control everything in your world so that your world is so controlled that God or no one else can get in. Are you with me? The last one, number four, insecurity breeds in discouragement and isolates you. You know, I think one of the greatest places that insecurity will start to breed is simply in discouragement. And I think that's an area where we've got to be very, very aware. Life will throw you discouraging circumstances. If you've been as discouraged by something in life, raise your hand. And it can be a simple life pathway, discouraging circumstances. I love what was said over Joshua before he went into the promised land. What God said to him, Joshua 1, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed and do not be discouraged. True? Before Joshua stepped into the promised land and all that was before the children of Israel, basically God warned him and said, you know what, there's going to be some discouraging. As soon as he gets over the river, he comes to the Jericho, and Jericho's the biggest fortified city. You could drive carriages on it. So it would have been, wow, that's my first battle. But he overcame that. So straight away there is discouragement. Discouragement, your life will not be devoid of discouraging circumstances. And that is where insecurity breeds. Imagine if Joshua just stood there and just went, oh, there's no way I can do that. Look at that city. Oh, man, we'll go back over the river. We'll regroup. That's just too big. That's crazy. Maybe there's something smaller. Maybe there's a little village down the road we can attack where there's 10 people and 3 camels, and we'll take that first. But you know what? He didn't do that. He stood there and he got a hold of God, and we know the story, and God did it. Insecurity is a big thing. Maybe the band could come up now. It'd be great. And I just believe out of this in discouragement, you know, for me is being involved with our state and in areas like that. You know, it's a common thing in my environment. Being a pastor, it's a common thing whenever pastors are going through tough times with their churches, you can't get a hold of them. They disappear off the radar. They don't go to conferences. They don't answer calls. They don't go to district meetings. They don't go to anything. It's like it's a common thing that we know. If we can't find someone, it means that they've been discouraged. Because quite often when you go to a meeting and you're standing in front of people, or if you're a business person or something, and to be around other people and they have to ask how things are going and you go, oh, not very well, it can be quite confronting. And whether it's with your relationship, with your marriage, whether it's your finances or whatever area, the enemy would love to get you discouraged and isolated. You know, I believe next to sin, I think insecurity is one of the biggest things that we deal with. And let me just finish by talking about this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. I know you've read that verse so many times. But can I just tell you that verse actually unlocks the power to deal with insecurity? Because you know what? For a lot of us, dealing with insecurity is something we can't deal with on our own. We need God's help. We need a power to do it. And I know whenever I've stepped over a boundary with insecurity, and had some significant things. I think years ago, I mean, I've probably told the story a few times, I was really insecure when I first got saved. I remember God spoke straight into my spirit and said, whenever you get a challenge, don't refuse it. And literally hours later, I think I shared this a few weeks ago, my then youth pastor came up and asked me to share my testimony. And I can remember just dying. Like, no, that's the worst thing. It's the most furthest thing from my mind that I could ever have done at that moment. And I can't believe that I just made that request before God. And hours later, it was literally after that meeting, she came and asked me. And then I just remembered that ringing in my ears from God saying, don't say no to a challenge. And I remember standing there going, okay, I'll do it. I couldn't believe I said it. And then I stepped out and the power of God turned up and I did something I'd never, ever done before. Amen? And I just believe that God's power is on. Don't ever, ever, whenever you're feeling insecure, don't think you're ever going to do it on your own. There's always God that's going to be with you. Amen? There's always God. No matter if you're stepping out to do some business thing or maybe some new thing you've got to do in life or something that you know you're called to do or some decision you've got to make, don't ever make that decision not thinking that God's in the equation. Insecurity tries to get us to think that God isn't in the equation. I love what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. So your flesh nature is not the answer to your problems. It's your God nature. It's God in you that is the answer to your problems. And I'm going to quickly put up a screen right now. Can we just put up that screen? What you say and what God says. Any second. There it is. I found this off the internet. Is this okay? Didn't make it myself. You say and God says. You say, it's impossible. God says, all things are possible. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. You say, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. Amen? You say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things. You say, I'm not able. God says, I am able. You say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. You say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. You say, I'm afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast your cares on me. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. You say, I feel all alone. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? You read that, and what you understand is you can't be a victim in life. Not if you're a Christian. How could you be a victim? Amen? And I mean victim. I don't mean that you've got to deal with stuff that's happened in your life. But God will give you the ability to get over it, work through it, see your life change, progress, become a better person. That's His Spirit. That's what He says over you. And every one of you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the image, you were created in the image, in the likeness of God. And you're incredible in His eyes. Can we just, in the last 4 minutes, can we just spend some time in worship just for a moment? Maybe we're going to get the guys just to, maybe the last song, Rocky, that we sung. Come on, just for a moment in this place. Put the lights down, just for a moment. Spirit of the Lord. Come on, reach out to God in this place. Reach out to the lover of your soul. Come on.
Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on, let the love of God just sweep into your soul. You know, if there's a, I know it's a big call. But if you just feel that there's a grip of insecurity over your life, I just want you to make your way down the front. We'd love just to pray. I just believe the Holy Spirit's here just to begin. And sometimes you've got to do something to break that thing over your life. Maybe stepping out of your seat and just coming and allowing someone to pray over it will just bring it to light and bring a power from God just to bring control back, God's control over that area of your life. So if that's you, come on. Come out of your seat. Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, work in people's lives in this place.
Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on. Confronting. I really do believe that the Holy Spirit's here just to break and give back some control. I know there's people in this place, and when I talked about inner thoughts, your mind just racing through with thoughts of yourself and you're constantly in conflict. I know there's people in this place. And if that's the indication the Holy Spirit's giving me that you are someone that deals with this area, you know, if it is too tough for you to come out, come and talk to me afterwards. I just really believe there's an anointing here just to break, take control. Is there no one else? No one's at the front? Wendy, are you at the front? You are, aren't you? I knew you were. I know you only had to take two steps, but I'm so proud you did. God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, for this insecurity that's tried to lock her and hold the incredible, beautiful power that you've placed inside of her, God. God, I pray for a breakthrough right now. I thank you for her steps forward. God, I thank you, Father God, right now. God, we come against the enemy who's trying to isolate and trap her, God, which she is incredible, God. The ability to give her heart, Father God, her caring heart, and the incredible, beautiful sincerity of her heart towards people and those that she could touch and release, Father God, all around her, God. We come against the enemy's strategy. Expose him for what he says, Father God, and bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Spirit God. One last thing. Very eye closed in this place. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, there's nothing honestly in your life. He is the answer to all your situations, every need you have, you know, every inner thought that you have. Jesus is the answer. He has the encouragement and the power to break anything that's over your life. And if you're in this place and you don't honestly have a revelation of him as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't want you to leave this place today. If you have any doubt about whether or not you are a Christian in this place, whether you are owned by Christ, that his spirit is within you, then I don't want you to leave. I want you to have that assurance of knowing Jesus in a personal and real way. Or maybe you're in this place and you've made a decision in the past and you know you've walked away from it and it's time just to recommit yourself. If you're any one of those two people, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. We as a church are going to pray this prayer together, and I want you to pray it sincerely from your heart, and I'm going to ask you to respond after that. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept your forgiveness of my sin and all my wrongdoing. And I accept today that I have your grace and your mercy flowing over my life. I accept today that I'm a Christian, which means Christ in me, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I am a believer. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my personal Lord and Savior. I love you, Lord. Amen. Every eye closed, just for a moment. If you prayed that prayer out of a rededication or the first time, just lift your hand up. We do this every week in our service, so I'm going to give people opportunity. If you prayed that for the first time or as a rededication, just lift your hand up. I won't ask you to come out, but we're going to get someone just to talk to you afterwards. In Jesus' name. Okay. And God, I just pray for every believer in this place. And God, for those that I didn't respond, God, I pray that you would just work in their hearts and minds. God, expose insecurity, Father God. Allow it to be something that they see in their lives. And God, and allow them to be a part of your purpose and your plan to combat and defeat insecurity in their lives. God, I speak freedom and life in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father God, that you have given us the power to defeat, Father God, insecurity, Father God. And we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for a release in this place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand? Well, that's it. We're going to finish right here and now. And if you do want some prayer or want to come talk to me, I'll be at the front here for a little bit. please come and do so. God bless you. Have a great, great rest of your Sunday weekend. Hang around for a coffee or a tea. God bless you, church.
Yeah, but...